And Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right. One side of the coin. Let's put the let's do this. Let's put instant replay continues, and on the other side of the coin, let's put a stake through its heart and kill it. Call it, John.
Tails.
Yeah, tails it is.
Stake through the heart.
All right, I will go first. No advantage goes with that. And
none.
Michael is here to help us wade
through
this stuff too. Mm-hmm. So okay, Paul Walker's. So you know we were talking about Fast and the Furious earlier. Paul Walker's souped-up Toyota Supra that he drove in the first Fast and Furious movie has sold at auction for $550,000. The 1994 car was auctioned off in Las Vegas this past weekend. The winning bid came from a phone bidder for Brian O'Connor's original 10-second car. The Supra's auction had been one of the most anticipated ones in recent memory. It got me to thinking. Let's say you could own any piece of movie history. You get to keep it. It could be anything. It could be the Maltese Falcon. It could be Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. It could be anything, whatever you want. What would you pick? Mace, you go first.
I would choose, and this is completely personal, I would choose Jake Gittes' hat from Chinatown, the one that Jack Nicholson wears for the movie. It's my favorite movie of all time. I love that. What do they call that kind of hat? A fedora?
Right.
That kind of hat. I would love to own that. I would put it right next to my Chinatown poster autographed by screenwriter Robert Towne.
Michael, how about you?
A sort of a movie memorabilia?
Yeah, anything from any movie ever.
I would like to have the swords that Arnold Schwarzenegger and Will Chamberlain wield it and Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, nice.
Oh, those things look cool.
All right, yeah. Lindsay, what are you going with?
I'm going to say the same thing that I said a couple weeks ago when we brought this up and go with the chocolate factory from Willy Wonka. That's what I would like, the whole chocolate factory.
The whole chocolate factory. You know, what popped into my head, oh, Jorge, do you have one?
Yeah, the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Very good one. Yeah. The thing that popped into my head thinking, like, what would be have the most monetary value? I thought of Judy Garland's ruby red slippers from The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
I think
you know that there's a whole podcast on those and the origin of them, because there's four pairs of them that still exist and one of them is actually missing, and there's this whole podcast all about it. It's crazy.
Ireland, you'd wear those shoes, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Around the house. Send out pictures on Lindsay's IG at Lindsay Baseball.
You know this. You know
what
this,
about Jeannie Buss could wear them, click three times, and we're in the finals.
Yeah. You know this Furious 5 series or whatever?
Yes,
yeah, Fast F7. And Furious. No, F9 9 is coming.
Fast and Furious or whatever. It's going up so much. It's going to make so many of them. They're eventually going to get to F149. An F-151. You know why they got to skip the one in the middle?
No.
Because they can't have a F-150 because that's a truck.
Trademark infringement.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
Very far ahead.
Yeah, Ford wouldn't allow it.
Okay.
Fast Track.
So the new rule for pitchers and illegal substances has gone into effect. Pitchers are furious. Last night, both Max Scherzer and Sergio Romo, basically, when they were asked to check for illegal substances, they just undressed. They pulled down their pants. They opened their shirt.
Yeah,
they took off their
that.
Belt. They did all this stuff. Pitchers, again, totally pissed off over this. Is Rob Manfred, because this is another example, is Rob Manfred the worst commissioner in sports now? Has he attained that title?
No, that belongs to Gary Bettman, who gets booed if he even walks out of a Starbucks.
Why? The NHL's making money, ain't they?
Yeah, I don't know why, but people don't like him.
No, baseball's the worst, because this is getting out of hand. Did you hear Clayton Kershaw's comments about this?
Yeah, I think Kershaw's right. He said, if you're going to check Max Scherzer, you better have evidence.
And what do you think about this, Mace? If the pitcher comes out clean, the manager who asks for that guy to be checked should get suspended a game.
So in other words, Joe Girardi.
Yeah.
Last night, who called for the review of Max
three
Scherzer?
Three times. Right. He called for it three times.
Why do they even give the managers the option to call them out and ask the umpire to check them? It should be just up to the umpires, because this is going to turn into like a gamesmanship thing where you have a pitcher who's throwing a no-hitter or something, and then they want to mess up his flow and then say, go out and check him for sticky stuff.
That's right.
They shouldn't be allowed to call him out like that.
Yeah. I think it's a disaster the way it was implemented, and I think Rob Manfred is a guy that just leads from behind.
Yeah,
as a baseball fan, I cannot stand Rob Manfred. It started with not penalizing the Astros, and now this thing has turned into what a mishigas this thing is. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
Okay, you guys have probably noticed that Euro 2020 is a huge soccer tournament being televised around the world.
Don't tell me who won today. I'm taping the games. I'm going to watch it when I get home.
It's not about that.
Okay.
It's now going on ESPN. That's what Michael's talking about.
Yeah,
one of the biggest sponsors of the tournament is Coca-Cola. So when a player sits down for his post-game podium interview, there are always two bottles of Coke placed right in front of him as part of the company's sponsorship deal. Last week, when Cristiano Ronaldo sat down for his interview, he took the two Coke bottles, moved them out of the camera shot, then held up a bottle of water and said, "Agua!"
Agua.
Clearly, Ronaldo prefers water over Coke, but here's my question. This moment has gone viral, mainly because Ronaldo is world famous, and it's not something you see every day. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for Coke? On one hand, he rejected their product, but on the other hand, this has received a ton of publicity, over a million views on YouTube, and now everybody is talking about Coke. If you're the CEO at Coke, Michael, I'll let you go first this time. Are you happy or unhappy that this happened?
I don't think it makes a difference. Coke is so popular around the world. People said that they lost some money when this happened. Their stock went down. I don't see how, because I'm still drinking Coke, and everybody else is drinking Coke because they said that negative publicity affected their bottom line. But I think it's terrible what Ronaldo did, because Coke paid that sponsorship to be on that table. Just because you don't endorse Coke doesn't give you the right to remove the product. They paid to be there.
Here's the thing. At the beginning, I thought, oh, this is a disaster for Coke. This is a disaster for sponsorship. This is a disaster for the UA, whatever the hell it is. I didn't even know what it is.
UEFA.
UEFA.
There you go. So now it is blown up to such a degree, the old rule, there's no such thing as bad publicity, is in effect. I mean, Coke has been talked about over and over again on media platforms all around the world because of this incident. I actually think it did, as John, as you suggested, turn out really good for Coke.
I do too. I agree with you. I think that everybody's talking about Coke, and if you're talking about it, that puts you top of mind. And like Michael said, Coke is an established product that you either like or you don't like. So if you hear this story, maybe you go to your fridge and grab a Coke. All right, Mace, it's to you.
All right, on this date in 1902, one of the world's first wooden roller coasters opened at Lakemont Park in Altoona, Pennsylvania. I've actually been there and been on this roller coaster. John, are you a roller coaster fan, and what is your favorite roller coaster you have ever ridden?
I'm not like somebody who seeks them out, but if I'm at an amusement park, I'll go. And, you know, mainly because when you have kids, you end up going to Disneyland and you go on roller coasters. My favorite roller coaster that I've ever been on, when they redid Space Mountain, I loved it because you're whipping around that thing in complete darkness, and they sped it up. So I like that one at Disneyland. And there's one at Magic Mountain called Colossus. That's just got a bunch of giant drops in it that I thought was good. But I haven't been on a roller coaster in probably 5 or 6 years.
You know, Linz, you and I are going to have the same location for our favorite roller coaster, I have a feeling. Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, I think has more roller coasters than any amusement park in the country. And my favorite there is a roller coaster called the Mean Streak. And it's an all-wooden roller coaster, so it's really...
Oh, the Mean Streak's terrible.
It's really, like, clacky and hard on you, and you really bounce around a lot. So my grandfather, who was in his late 70s, was visiting us. I had a place in Sandusky, and he was, like, all in on going to Cedar Point. And he was all in on going on every roller coaster. And we got on the Mean Streak. And we got about a quarter away in, and I thought to myself, I think I just killed my grandpap. It was so rough. It was so bad.
Michael, here's the thing. You have a running joke that I always used to say when we would go to Miami. Why don't you fly over to the Bahamas and see your family? And you would say, because the planes are so unreliable, I'd be scared that I wouldn't make it back.
Yep.
Do they even have roller coasters in the Bahamas?
No, we're smarter than that. You ever see who put these roller coasters together, boys? Half the guys are missing their teeth. You ain't talking about
You're talking about the county fair.
We ain't talking about NASA scientists putting these roller coasters together. I ain't getting on none of them things.
Lynn, Cedar Point?
Yeah, mine is the Maverick. By the way, they don't have the Main Streak anymore. I think
they got rid of it.
Oh yeah, they caused too many migraines from the clacking back and forth of your head.
There's so much clacking.
I couldn't even ride it because
did you guys hear about the kid who got decapitated on a roller coaster?
No, come on.
Do we have to go there?
Well, that happens, man.
but I don't think we need to go there. By the way, Kelvin Washington texts. The Demon Drop at Cedar Point, crazy. Yeah, the Demon Drop is really good.
Boy, Kelvin's got to be in a good mood today. The Pistons got the number one pick last night.
That's right. Poor kid's got to go to Siberia. We've been to Detroit, Ireland. You see what's wrong that arena?
Yeah, Jeff Katz texted me all fired up and excited that they got the number one pick.
They'll get Cade Cunningham, but believe me, ain't nobody going to be watching Detroit basketball.
All right, Ireland, you want to sneak one more in?
Sure.
No, let's not. We're right up against it.
Okay.
All right, so right now, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the private advanced screening of Marvel Studios' Black Widow Thursday, July 8th. It's Mason Movie Night at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina.
Black.
Right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN.
And these PC times.
Start with caller number 7.
Just call her the
start
Widow.
Start with caller number 7. A very easy Marvel trivia question. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. There's a one-hit wonder. Katrina and the Waves. I actually have a story about Katrina and the Waves, but first we're giving away this 4-pack of tickets to see Black Widow with me, Mason Movie Night, on July the 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. That's a Thursday night, so you can be one of the first to see Black Widow. Jorge, do we have caller number 7 ready? Okay. And you got callers backing up, right? Okay.
Now, are you sure you want to do this game? Your last two games have been disasters.
Okay. This is easily Googleable, but I'm going to go ahead with it. The first guy may not have a chance unless he really knows the Marvel Cinematic Universe. All right,
okay.
Here we go. You want to bring him up?
I don't want to because I'm very scared, but I will anyway. It doesn't involve math, does it?
No math in this.
Okay.
Let's bring up Hector from Irvine. Hector, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
Do you know the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all?
Very little.
You're going to have trouble here. What is Black Widow's real name?
Take a guess, Hector.
Spider? I don't know.
Spider. Okay, no, it's not it, but guess. Hector, thank you for trying. Let's go to Jose in Corona. Jose, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good. Do you know Black Widow's real name?
Oh, crap.
Real easy, Holly.
It's a European name.
It is a European name.
Is
we need an answer.
Romanoff or something like that?
Oh, yes, he got it. Natasha Romanoff is the right answer. Now, be honest. We're not going to take away your tickets, but be honest. Did you Google that?
I did not. I'm actually driving home from Irvine.
Okay.
Actually, I'm driving from Irvine to Corona.
So you win fair and square, Jose.
Sweet, man. Appreciate it, man.
We'll see you on July the 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. Exclusive advanced preview screening of Black Widow. That'll be fun.
Why are you always accusing us minorities of Googling?
No, I first me. These things are Googleable.
Now Jose.
Because yesterday some guy did Google.
Oh.
Yeah, yesterday we had a guy exactly on the number.
He totally did.
Googled. So we played Katrina and the Waves coming in, which is a classic one-hit wonder. So years ago, it was a couple of years after Walking on Sunshine came out, a guy named Charlie Miner, who is an A&M Records executive, flew me out to L.A., to try to get me to add one record to our playlist. I was the program director. And he said, I want you to meet this girl, Kimberly. And I'm like, okay. He didn't know I was gay. I don't think anybody knew I was gay at that point. So I went along with that. I said, I knew from the start, from the jump. So anyways, I go to dinner with this girl named Kimberly. And we're talking. And Charlie's there, too. Charlie's there with his wife. We're talking. And Kimberly, I start saying, so what do you do? And she said, I'm in the music business. I'm like, well, what do you do in the music business? She said, I'm a performer. And I said, well, would I know any of your songs? And she said, Walking on Sunshine. I was like, I got fixed up with the lead singer of Katrina and the Waves. Her name was Kimberly Rue. And, of course, the relationship went nowhere past that dinner. By dessert, it was over. But it was really weird to be set up with Katrina from Katrina and the Waves.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we talked about a lot about the officiating in the NBA last night. And I'm trying not to because we've been told be nicer to the Clippers. Don't dwell on it. Last night, I had my Twitter open a few times, and I thought, boy, I could really troll the world right now. And I decided, no, I'm going to be a nice guy, and I'm not going to do that last night. There were a lot of people doing it, though. But I want to talk about the goop on the baseball thing for a minute.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Before you get to that, Michael, let me see if you agree with something I've been saying all week. I don't have anything against the Clippers. I used to work for them. I have a lot of friends over there. It'd be really fun if we saw, you know, guys like Brian Seaman and Noah Eagle get a chance to call the finals. We like those guys. But I don't think what Ty Lue asked is possible. Did you hear what Ty Lue said?
Yeah.
I don't think you can ask Laker fans to root for the Clippers. Do you agree?
No, of course not. That's like asking UCLA fans to root for SC when they're in a bowl game. No, they can't do that.
Yeah, I think it's completely unrealistic.
No, exactly.
But I'm trying not to be, you know, like hate today because I'm sure Clipper fans are really feeling it. Both of you guys are really upset.
Well, wait a minute.
Both Clipper fans are really bummed.
They're not dead, Mace. They've been down 0-2 in each of these series.
But I think losing that way is a backbreaker.
Michael and I disagree about this. Michael, you've always said you'd rather get blown out by 30 than lose on a heartbreaker.
Oh, yeah. Like that?
Me too.
No. Then you know you're in the game. You were one lucky bounce away from winning.
That's true, but it haunts you because if you go home on that plane ride, we got killed by 30. You can say, okay, it wasn't our night, but that kind of game just haunts you.
Yeah, see, that would break me.
Yeah.
Losing that game would break me. I have a hard time recovering from stuff that happens.
It just frustrates you, Mace, because you said, we were so close, we had it, we had home court advantage, and we blew it.
Well, I mean, I'm learning golf right now, right?
Ooh, how's that going? Really? I thought you'd be improving. Don't you see any improvement?
Some days it's good, some days it's bad. Yeah. I don't know.
I think, Michael, I think he's sandbagging me. First he took the match and cut it from 18 holes to 9.
Right.
Oh.
And now he's practicing every day.
Mm-hmm. Ireland, you're going to beat me by 30, by 40.
He's not backing off of – I'm giving him 26 strokes on 9 holes.
I shot a 95 on a par 3 course.
So Ireland has to – you'll shoot 40, right, Ireland, on a par 9?
Yesterday I shot 42 on the front and 38 on the back. So, yeah, right around 40.
I'm going to do a reverse bet, okay?
Yeah.
If I win – I will bet on you. I will bet 10,000 mythical dollars on you to beat me in this golf match. Yeah, I'm not going to tank. I just have no chance. Yeah. I have no chance. And after a bad shot, I'm like, oh, there goes the whole thing. So, I just fall apart after a really bad shot.
So if you can shoot a 40, Mace has to shoot 66.
Yeah, for 9 holes.
And Mace on a really tough course.
Yeah, par 4s, par 5s. You have to average... Let's see. You have to average 7.1 strokes a hole.
Yep, not happening.
Yeah, you can't do that, Ireland.
No,
you're
not happening.
We'll see September 10th.
You know what they call me? They call me Captain Three Putt.
Are you gonna collapse like Louis Oosthuizen at the U.S. Open?
I believe,
Bryson
DeChambeau.
Really,
I will just fall apart.
Just call him DeChambeau.
So, Michael, what do you think of this whole – we haven't talked to you about this. Baseball is now enforcing the rule against illegal substances for Major League Baseball pitchers. And last night it has turned into a circus. Last night Joe Girardi asked that Max Scherzer be checked 3 different times until finally Scherzer just basically pulled down his pants, undressed himself, opened his shirt, took his belt off, all that stuff, said, go ahead, wherever you want. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened with Sergio Romo. Sergio Romo pulled down his pants, said, this is ridiculous. I've got no illegal substances. And by the way, he throws like 85 miles an hour. He's not really benefiting much if he has illegal substances. What do you think of the way baseball is handling this?
Oh, it's ridiculous. So every time a pitcher is now out and having a good outing, there's going to be suspicion that he's doctoring the ball. This is ridiculous.
So I did a little demo. I ordered some of this Spider Tack stuff. And if you go to at Venice Mace on Twitter or Instagram, you'll see exactly what this goop is. Reportedly, this is what Garrett Cole was asked about. He was asked specifically about whether or not he used spider tack. And he hemmed and hawed and finally never denied that he'd. Oh, do you have this? He was asked, do you use spider tack?
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't. I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that.
Oh, that means he's done it.
Of course.
It's a yes or no answer.
It is. It's an easy one.
Exactly.
It's a tap in putt.
Yeah. That means he's guilty.
He's guilty.
If I hadn't used it, I'd say, no, I don't need it. I'm 6'5", 240 pounds. I can throw 100 miles an hour. What do I need that crap for?
So what's really funny is I did this demo and I stuck the ball to the wall. With the spider tack,
yeah.
And the Kamenetsky brothers pointed out it was very strategically placed. There's a magazine cover with me. There's a magazine with me on the cover, framed on one side, and there's a Culture Pop podcast hat on the other. So it was apparent. I didn't realize I was doing
for
it,
you.
But I was promoting.
Do you have 8x10 headshots of yourself? All
I
over
do
your
not.
House?
I used to. I didn't necessarily put them up, but I used to have headshots that I used when I was doing more acting. But
are
I'm
you lying like your
right
shoe
now.
Size right now? Are you lying about this?
About
your
the spider tack?
No, you do have pictures of yourself. You're just lying to us, aren't you?
You think that's the lie of the day?
I think so.
Lie of the
I
day.
I think so.
Yeah, pictures all over the house of me. It's like a shrine to me. That's how I roll. All right, coming up next for you. Alex Caruso. We haven't gotten to that.
Is that a big deal?
Well, we'll talk about it. Alex Caruso, found with a small amount of marijuana, along with marijuana paraphernalia at an airport at Texas A&M. It was the on-campus airport. He was searched and they found it. How big a deal is it? We'll do that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Now, did you know, in honor of the Knack, My Sharona being released today, we've been doing one-hit wonders all day. Did you know that was a one-hit wonder, John?
The song about raining in Southern California?
Yeah.
No, I don't even know who sings it.
It's, I think I have it, Albert Hammond, right?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Some guy named Albert Hammond. And that's a pretty significant song. You will hear this for Southern California all the time. So that's a big hit wonder.
Michael, are those guys from the Bahamas who sing Who Let the Dogs Out? Is that a one-hit wonder?
One-hit wonder, baby. The biggest one-hit wonder song in history.
The Baja Men.
That's right.
Yeah, they were definitely, we never heard from them again. The dogs ran out and they never came back.
That's right.
So, Alex Caruso yesterday, with the Lakers, of course, beloved Alex Caruso, who's a free agent right now. He goes down, he went to Texas A&M. So apparently he was down there and there's an airport on campus. And when he went to board his plane, he got searched. And they found I think it was a grinder. That you use when you're smoking flour, along with a small amount of marijuana. And he got booked with a misdemeanor charge. Is this a big deal to you guys?
Puta yesca!
Puta yesca!
It's not a big deal. This is ridiculous how they're overblown this. The NBA doesn't even test for it.
I know.
Listen, I am the only one out of the loop because I don't condone using drugs for recreational use. Plus, it's a college campus. I'm the old fogey here, and I don't see the big deal because it is legal in 16 states for recreational use. Now, I know Texas isn't one of them, but come on. It's time for us to start, I don't like it. I don't use it. I never used it, but if people want to use it, hey, go hang out with Snoop and Mace and knock yourself out.
Hang out with Snoop and Mace.
By the way, Mace,
that.
It's legal in 16 states. Since you're Mr. Drug expert around here.
I'm not a drug expert. It's from the earth. I'm a cannabis expert.
So is heroin, by the way, from the earth. Can you name the 16 states that it's legal in? How many can you name?
Oh, for God's sake.
You should know this since you are you're an MD, marijuana doctor.
And you claim to be the smartest guy on the show.
Yes. Okay, well, mm-hmm. He's asking me to name 16 states.
Well, how many of the 16 can you name where it's legal in?
California, Colorado, yes. Oregon, yes. Washington.
Yep. Where else?
New York.
Yep. Very good, Mace.
Massachusetts.
Yep. Very good.
What about Michigan?
Yes, Michigan is.
Michigan.
It's legal.
How about it's? I don't think it's in Ohio. How about Florida?
No, not Florida.
Not Florida. Definitely not Texas.
Another
bluish states. What about Illinois?
Yep, it is legal in Illinois for recreational.
It's easy.
Use.
Just name off the political blue states.
What about a state that's up north of Washington?
North of Washington.
North of Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Virginia.
Nope. North of Washington, a state.
D.C.?
D.C.'s not a state.
Come on, man. What's
no, north of Washington. Yeah. There's nothing north of Washington.
Yes, there is. It's a state north of Washington.
What? Washington's the top.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Really?
You guys ever heard of Alaska?
Oh, come on. So that's not above Washington.
It's a state.
Yeah but it's not above it.
Right.
It's not above Washington.
Yeah, but it's on this side.
What do you think? What do you think Alaska
come
is?
On,
look at the. Wait
got,
a minute,
got,
ladies
you,
and gentlemen. Jorge just said Alaska is not north of Washington.
No, but the way you phrase it,
I said
above it.
On top of it. Yeah. Rhode Island's the other one. New Jersey, Montana, Arizona, Nevada, and Maine and Vermont.
But not
Texas.
John, big deal, little deal.
Very little deal. I texted Lindsay last night, and I'm not trying to make light of a drug charge, but I'll just throw it out to you guys, and you tell me if you agree. I think there's a chance this makes him more popular with fans.
Probably.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know what? It makes him human.
Right.
It humanizes him.
And I think the number one reaction from everyone I've talked to is, what is Texas doing? If that happened in California, they wouldn't arrest
him.
Why is Texas arresting him?
But there is a rule.
Yeah.
If you are a cannabis user, like I am, don't fly with it. I never fly with it. When I go on vacation, I don't smoke weed. I just go on vacation.
You probably forgot it. Now, they found that grinder without any seeds in it. Would he have been all right?
Yes, if it was just the grinder, I think he would have been okay. But they found some weed in the grinder, so they charged him. Yeah, it's such
I bet he forgot.
Yeah,
because he probably flies with it all the time, and this is probably one of the first times he's flown commercial since the season ended.
That's
you know, they're used to flying on a private plane, Ireland.
Yes, exactly, Ireland. We know how good those private
planes
are.
Amen.
Otherwise,
yes.
I wouldn't be able to take all my wine with me if we weren't flying.
Or your collection of newspapers from the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're still reading the newspapers, right, Michael? Oh,
hey, listen, man. It's nothing more relaxing than a nice hot cup of coffee in the morning and a newspaper, feeling the print and the black ink on your fingers. What's wrong with you, Mace? The smell of the paper, too, like Jorge said.
Yeah, this is actually a good one for you, Michael. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett is the sixth richest man in the world.
Yeah.
He's worth over $100 billion. So I found some facts about him that are surprising. And I just want to get your reaction to it.
Okay.
First of all, he owns and lives in the house in Omaha that he bought in 1958 for about $31,000. Never moved up to a big mansion, nothing like that.
I think that's cool. I think that's quaint. I would be the same way. I wouldn't need to live in a 20,000 or 50,000
foot. Said the guy who just moved into like the fanciest house on the beach in the world.
But it's only like 4,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Is that big?
No. Bigger than most.
That seems big.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, starts his day with an Egg McMuffin instead of a fancy breakfast.
Yeah, I'm like that too. Give me a breakfast burrito, man. Breakfast
Egg McMuffin is a perfectly balanced breakfast.
Yeah.
Some trainer
those.
Guy said.
Nothing but breakfast burrito is the greatest breakfast in the world. Thanks a lot, Jorge.
What's in your burrito?
Cheese.
Uh-huh.
Obviously eggs, bacon, bell pepper, and spinach.
Not bad. Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good.
I don't like all the beans and the salts and stuff. I don't need all that.
It could go with it.
It goes with it, but I just want this plain old-fashioned, just all-American breakfast with the Mexican flavor to it, the Mexican style.
I got you, yeah.
Okay, next one. Again, this is like the frugal billionaire.
Yeah.
He used a Nokia flip phone long after smartphones were introduced, and now he's using an iPhone, but it's only an iPhone 7.
You know whose lead he's following?
Who?
Great John Black.
Yeah. Now, I don't understand. Why would you want a flip phone and not get the latest technology?
John used to carry his flip phone and not bring a computer with him. I said, well, how do you do email? He goes, I don't.
Yeah.
He goes, I just use my flip phone and worry about it later.
Yeah.
Okay, so, again, this is a man worth $100 billion.
Yeah. That was a little odd. You got
according
come up
to Bill Gates, he's been with Warren Buffett, when he clips coupons, he once did it at a McDonald's for a free sandwich.
Yeah, that's going a little too far.
I don't clip coupons. Do you, Michael?
No, that's
Mason. I know you
weird.
Don't. But you're going to say you do.
I know. I have not clipped coupons. I definitely haven't. I don't even know if that's still a thing. Buffett has worked in the same office building for more than 50 years. No fancy office for him.
Yeah, I can see that. That's cool.
This is a weird one. When Buffett had his first child, he didn't want to buy a bassinet, so he converted a dresser drawer into a space for the baby to sleep.
That's a Seinfeld episode.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. He has these three Japanese businessmen come to meet him, and Kramer puts them in three drawers. And that's a little much.
Yeah. Which dresser did you put the baby in? I don't see the baby anywhere.
Right.
Is he in the wardrobe? Is he in the dresser in the bedroom? To me, that's weird.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Last thing, his daughter says this. It's really true that he does not care about having a bunch of money. I don't think people realize he's got a bunch of great grandchildren, and he could tell you everything about what they're all doing. He knows every one of those kids, and he knows about their lives.
That's good. That's good.
Good.
Isn't
for
that
him.
Nice?
People
yeah.
always have a lot of money, say they don't care about money. Yeah, try living without it.
Yeah, right. That jumps out of me, too.
Exactly.
He doesn't care about money.
Right.
Yeah, who really doesn't care about money? Where is that person that doesn't
care?
Yeah,
I hate it when athletes say, it's not about the money. Yeah, right, then why don't you sign a $5 million contract instead of a $30 million contract?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about this, and tonight Milwaukee and Atlanta have game one. I was thinking about this. If Milwaukee wins the championship, and I think they're going to.
Yeah, me too.
Then will the plan to allow the Supermax and allow small market teams to offer big money to keep their biggest stars. Won't that plan have worked if Milwaukee wins the title because they kept Giannis on that gigantic deal?
Him and Jamie Lillard are the two rare breeds who said even in a small market they're going to stay. But everybody else has left.
John, hasn't it worked?
I don't know. Most of these guys – like, Paul George signed a 5-year deal in Oklahoma City, and then the next year he demanded out.
Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook had a
long-term
deal,
right?
And then he wanted to leave.
Right. So let's see how these play out at the end. The only place people never want to leave is L.A.
But isn't Giannis, like, the perfect example of, see, it's work.
Yeah,
they
it
were
work.
Able to keep Giannis in Milwaukee.
But well, especially if they win it.
And he's one out of maybe 10 guys has worked on, and Lillard. There's two guys so far has worked on. So, for the most part, these guys eventually leave.
Michael, are you on Milwaukee to win it all?
Yeah, I think so. They've got the size. Giannis is playing out of his mind. Jrue Holiday makes a big difference. Chris Middleton's knocking out every shot. They've got the most balance on inside and outside, so they look like they're the team to beat.
And the Clippers are done.
No, they're not.
I don't know. No, because you're still talking about the Suns, who has never been here before. All the Clippers got to do is
Chris Paul's coming back for Game 3,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, that's a big lift. And it looks like Kawhi might not play.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to count them out yet.
No, I think the Clippers are done.
I hope you're right, even though I hate to say that because I love Paul George and Kawhi. They're two of my boys
from
LA.
But Chris Paul in the finals is actually a really cool story, I think.
I mean, sure, he's such a good
Michael,
leader.
is he the best player ever never to make a finals?
That's a great question. The greatest player ever never to make the finals.
Did Bob Lanier ever make a finals?
No, but I think Chris might be ahead of him as far as greatness, even though they play different positions. That might be accurate.
He's the best active player not to have played in the finals. I don't know if he's the
greatest all-time
player.
Yeah,
to play
I don't
in the
know.
Finals.
That's a great question, though, to go back in time through history and see who else compares.
I don't think Artis Gilmore ever played in the finals.
No, not as a lead
Maybe
player.
As an ABA guy, but yeah. I think he might be.
He might be. And he's two wins away from
it. Did Pete Maravich ever play in the finals?
No.
Oh, Pistol Pete.
Unless,
that was my dad's favorite player. Yeah,
unless when he was on the Celtics, one of those teams.
Maybe if he was on the Celtics as a bit player, but not as the face of a franchise, no.
All right, coming up next, it's our favorite part of the show. This is where Lindsay plugs her Instagram page. And you can follow her at Lindsay Baseball. I'll just take some of the steam out of that. But you'll hear that at least twice more as we go to Radio Tinder next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Lindsay, what do you got for us?
And just like Morales said, you can follow me on my Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. And it's EY, like Lindsay Baseball, not AY. I know some people spell their name that way. All right, so we brought up Keeping Up with the Kardashians and their reunion special a few times this week already.
Yes.
And I'm going to bring it up again today.
Oh,
so, why not?
The host of the special, Andy Cohen, asked a very valid question that has hovered over the family for the last 20 seasons of their show. He asked, do you think that you are promoting unattainable standards of beauty in any way? And here's what Kim Kardashian had to say. She said, no, I don't, because I think we get up, we do the work, and we work out. Younger sister Kendall Jenner also supported Kim's response, saying, "We all really enjoy taking care of ourselves and being healthy. So if anything, I think the only thing we're trying to represent is being the most healthy version of yourself." Do you guys agree with Kim and Kendall? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. I really do not believe this particular riff from them. You know, I do think they set the standards really, really high. And, you know, people like this, people in the public eye have got trainers and chefs and all that kind of stuff keeping them looking great. And most people cannot do that. And most women cannot attain the standards of them. They can't afford the plastic surgery and the fillers and the Botox and all that stuff that goes along with being a Kardashian. So I would say I'd swipe left. I don't think they're – I think they're setting a very high bar for women.
I'm not saying they don't put in the work, but – for example, let's see Kylie, for example. You know, Kylie can afford, obviously, any type of enhancement surgery that she wants to do. If she wants to get...
Any of them can.
Right. And so, most, you know, how old's Kylie? 21, 22? Most girls that age can't afford any of that stuff. So in that sense, Lindsay, it's unattainable, isn't it?
Exactly. I think the fact that they want to use working out and saying, oh, I think that we just really love taking care of ourselves. Like, I feel like most women, most people in general, enjoy taking care of themselves and being healthy. But like you guys said, not everybody can afford to eat at these fancy high-end restaurants with, you know, that will make a menu specifically just for them and yeah. their eating habits and styles. Like, you know, most people... you're right. You guys are both right. I'm glad you've said that, because the fact that they're that delusional that they think that the rest of the world can live the same type of lifestyle they have just on a smaller scale money-wise is insane.
And you there's know the other no thing part is of it. Here we've got people who don't have real jobs. They have got the rest of us work, right? It's hard to squeeze in a workout. Their whole life is devoted to just this. They've got plenty of time to work. They've even got more time to work out than the average person. So, yeah, I'm going to double swipe left.
And not only that, it's really quick. The one thing that really bothers me about, like, rich, famous celebrities, whatever, they get so much stuff for free. Like, imagine, like, their trainer, their workouts. Imagine, like, Khloe posted something the other day. On the special, she mentioned her plastic surgeon. I'm sure that mention alone, she mentioned him by name, the guy who did her nose job. That's worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising, just her mentioning his name. So I'm sure that they all get stuff for free and that they're not buying a lot of these things. And so, they have the celebrity perks. So
By the way,
they're wrong.
Michael, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right. So speaking about getting stuff for free, I noticed that you have a ton of baseball swag that you've obviously gotten from Trace.
Right.
Mm. Do you have Warriors swag or Cavs swag from Mikey and Clay?
Yeah, all that stuff, man. We get all that stuff for free.
Yeah, but do you not wear the Warriors and Cavs stuff because you work for the Lakers?
I wear it around the house, yeah. I don't bring it out in public.
All right,
you're still wearing those stupid sweatpants?
The Zubas? Of course.
What do you mean stupid sweatpants?
That's right.
I might take offense to that. That's John Daly's entire wardrobe.
Exactly. I'm going to wear them at your party.
Yep. If you have any of that extra cab swag or Indians, didn't Trace play for the Indians for a minute?
That's
you know,
right.
Laying around?
Yeah.
Throw it my way.
I'll have to look for some for you. Yeah.
I'd love to see Lindsay in one of Michael's sweatshirts. It'd look like
a dress. I'll do what Michael does, and I will just hem it. You know, like how he added the extra fabric
exactly.
to his pants?
That's
I'll
right.
just take some away.
You do whatever it takes.
Good point.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so next thing here came from our favorite, Am I the A-Hole Reddit. So this Reddit poster wrote... This one's a little bit long. He said, "My wife and I have been married for 22 years, and we've had an open marriage for the past 10 years.
Good
recently, our 19-year-old daughter was somewhere that I wasn't expecting her and saw me with the woman that I've been sleeping with for the past 18 months. She did not make her presence known to me, but she confided in her mother. My wife told me, our daughter saw us, and now she thinks I'm having an affair. I asked my wife if we should set the record straight about our open relationship, and she doesn't feel comfortable with our children knowing that we have an open marriage. I'm frustrated and angry, and I feel betrayed. The open marriage was something my wife and I agreed on together. I get feeling a little uncomfortable about admitting something so intimate to our children, but the alternative, them thinking that I'm a cheater who is cheating on their mother, is much worse."
Ooh, this is a good one.
Is he the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, not if she agreed to it. Now, I would love to hear So I guess I'm swiping right. I would love to, as I've had this conversation with Mason many, many times. A lot of guys I know that claim they are in an open relationship, what they're really in is they're messing around and the wife isn't.
Yeah. No, my part of it is open.
Right.
Hers is closed.
Like Carmelo Anthony, who just, his wife just announced he's getting a divorce, has famously said once, Lala's married, I'm not. So I would love to hear the woman actually say that she agreed to the open relationship. But let's assume for the sake of your question that she did, that everything this guy wrote is true. I think I would go to my daughter if I was this guy and just have a private conversation with her, even if my wife didn't want me to. I wouldn't want my daughter being disappointed in me. I would explain to her what she saw and what is going on. So I guess I would go over my wife's head.
Wouldn't she be disappointed in you either way? Either
correct.
You're having an affair or you're out there screwing around because it's
mutually but if it's an agreed upon arrangement, you come off a little more sympathetic than a cheater?
Yeah, but boy, that's what.
Yes, but if you have the conversation with her without your wife present, she's going to assume you're lying, or she's going to want to fact check it with her mom, and then that could create a whole other issue.
Lindsay, how would you feel if you knew your parents were in an open
marriage? Lindsay, what do you think this guy should do?
If I were that guy, I would tell his wife exactly what he said. I feel like you're betraying me. The last thing that any girl wants is for their dad to disappoint them, and I think that. In this situation, the weirdness or uncomfortableness of him admitting he has an open relationship to his daughter, that's definitely worth sacrificing that for the sake of his daughter's feelings towards him, because that could mess her up in the head for the rest of her life.
Would you be disappointed in your dad if he was in one?
No, if they agreed on it, no, not at all.
Okay.
If that's what they want to do, it's their life.
If it's something they decide, and I always err on the side of honesty. I mean, otherwise you have to keep sneaking around and doing what you're doing, trying to keep it away from your daughter, and eventually she's going to find out anyway, so why not be honest? I'm gonna swipe right. Why not just be honest about the whole thing?
And plus, she's 19. Like, I think a 19-year-old in this day and age in 2021 knows that, like, things aren't the way they always used to be, and she'd probably be relieved to know that this is an okay thing, you know, that their parents, you know, we're in an open marriage. I feel like she'd rather hear that than know that her dad is a scumbag, you know?
Yeah.
That's all. All right. So last one here. Coors Seltzer is releasing a new alcohol-infused ice cream based on their limited edition orange cream pop flavor. The seltzer and the ice cream will both contain orange and vanilla flavors along with 5% alcohol. They said, quote, inspired by the nostalgic orange cream pop we typically see as a frozen treat, Coors Seltzer Orange Cream Pop Ice Cream by Tipsy Scoop is an upgraded summer treat for the ultimate refreshment. Would you try the Tipsy Scoop ice cream? Swipe left or swipe right?
5% is fairly significant, right? It's the same that's in a beer.
I think it's more than a beer.
Is it a beer 5%?
Like, yeah, 5%, 5.4.
Listen to Jorge, 5.5.
Come on, man.
I wouldn't be against trying it, Mace. How about you?
Hell no. I mean, we used to do. God, my mom made.
It's
big
like
batches.
Doing a Jello shot, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say my mom made big batches of Jello shots for all of us. So this makes perfect sense. Jello shots are awesome.
Oh no, that's one of those things where I had way too many of them when I was younger that I could never even bear the thought of Jello ever again. Oh,
it's
so gross.
It's very easy to get really go overboard on Jello shots.
What's in
fun.
A Jello shot?
It depends.
Jello and alcohol.
Vodka.
It's whatever
it can
you want,
be
yeah.
Vodka. It can be schnapps.
And your mother? How old were you when your mother was giving them to you, Mace? 12?
No, I was in the playpen. We were in our 20s. My mom likes to party. That's the thing about my mom. She loves to party. She loves to drink. As you've heard on the show, she didn't throw
parties underwearless. Yeah,
exactly. No, my mom's a walking party, so she made Jello shots.
The thing about the Jello shots, though, Michael, like Mason said, you'd take a couple of them, and you're like, I'm not really feeling anything. Maybe there's not that much in here. I'll take a couple more, and then they absorb or melt in your belly.
Yeah.
And then an hour later, you are just completely hammered, and it just hits you at once like a brick wall. It's awful.
I'll just stick to my champagne.
Yeah,
stick with champagne and Camus.
That's right.
All right, is that it, Linz?
That is it for Radio Tinder, but make sure you follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball.
Okay, all right, we'll do it. Hey, coming up next, interestingly, John and Michael, we've sort of been playing one-hit wonders today in honor of the Knack, releasing My Sharona on this date in 1979. I've actually heard from the lead guitarist of The Knack himself.
No kidding.
So I will tell you what he said coming up, and also what Clayton Kershaw said about the now the new rule about enforcing the illegal substances clause for pitchers in Major League Baseball, what he said about what happened with Max Scherzer last night. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.